Our text can be found this morning in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. Last week, we began this message, which I titled The Message, by discussing the compassion for the message. Look at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This week, did you ask for and receive a greater desire to see lost family members and friends trust in Jesus and be saved? Compassion for the message. And then we talked about the call for the message. Look at verses 2 through 4. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The necessity for sharing the message with others is that the natural man is without proper knowledge. He's ignorant of the biblical way of salvation and seeks therefore to be saved by following vain philosophies of men. But it's not because the message of salvation cannot be heard by them. This is our third point. We talked about last week the convenience of the message, verses 5 through 9. For Moses, he describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. You got to keep the whole law the whole time. Only Christ is able to do that. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend up into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend unto the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It is not as though family and friends do not have the word, the Christ, which means the anointed one, the Messiah, near them. For indeed, mankind in general, and the United States in particular, have been blessed, for the word is nigh unto them, in that people, they share it by tracts, radio, TV, internet, and by personal testimonies. Now, this week, by God's grace, we're going to study the following verses here in Romans, verses 9 through 13. We're going to focus on the content of the message. Do you have the compassion? You see the call for it and the convenience, it's out there. But now wait a minute. What is the message that you and I should be sharing with others? Let's take a look at it. Next week, we're going to talk about the conveyor of the message and then the contempt for the message. Those are next week's messages. But let's focus today on the content of the message. Hopefully, you wouldn't be surprised that you need to share, that an individual needs to confess and believe. Reading now Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now last week we examined Deuteronomy chapter 30, where Paul drew from this proof text, Deuteronomy 30, he drew the proof text for the convenience of the message. At that time, he quoted a number of verses. verses that we see now in verse 6, 7, and 8 in our present context. But notice here in verse 9, this appears also in that same passage. In that passage in Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, here's how it's translated. The order is this, that one shall confess with their mouth and shall believe in thine heart. It appears Paul took this verse from that, because notice what we read here in verse 9. After he says, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth. That's in Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Now, in thy mouth and in thy heart. But look what happens in verse 10 here of our context. Here we see what? In verse 10, believing comes before confession. Verse 9, it was confess, believe. Verse 10, it's believe and confess. Okay, so which is it? Which is it? Well, in the mind of the Apostle Paul, he thought these two were so closely linked together, he could interchange them. And he does. And along with them being interchangeable, he also thought they were inseparable. In other words, for a person to be saved, they must confess and believe. They need to believe and confess. Matthew 7, verse 21 says this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus in that passage is describing those who confessed and they did many works in Jesus' name, but they lacked a heart of faith, as evidenced by the fact they did not do the will of their Father. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is this. You can confess Jesus without faith in Jesus. But that doesn't save. But you can also have belief but not confess. Listen to James chapter 2, verse 19. Listen to these words. Thou believest that there's one God, James writes. And thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, the devils aren't. These devils that he was talking about weren't saved. Why? Because they refused to confess him as Lord. He was not sovereign over their life. So the message of salvation must exhort a person to both confess and believe. To believe and confess. I want you to focus here. Look at verse 9. You see the verb, shall confess? All right, now look at verse 10. Confession is made. They're the same verb. And they mean to say the same thing, to be in agreement with someone. Now, in this case, it's to be in agreement with God. It's to say the same thing as God. It's to acknowledge with God that God was incarnated in Jesus Christ. Remember what he's just said in verses 6 and 7. You don't have to send someone to look for Christ, the Messiah, for he is nigh, verse 8. He's nigh. We know that Christ is born a virgin. He was called Emmanuel, which we noted this morning in our reading, was being interpreted, God with us. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21, 22, and 23. So what are we saying? Well, one must confess and believe the Lord Jesus. The Lord is Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Now, the word translated here, big L, little O, little R, little D, Lord, Kyrios, it means possessor or owner. It means to have supremacy or sovereign over. Have you believed in your heart? confess with your mouth Jesus is sovereign over you. Why? Because he's God. Now, can you imagine the difficulty that the Jews had with this message? If you want to do a little word study this afternoon, you can examine the nearly 200 times the words Jesus and Lord appear in the same verse. Now, the vast majority of the times, Lord comes before Jesus. But there are times when Jesus also comes before Lord. Let me give you a couple examples. I want you to listen to Peter's first sermon in Acts 2. Here's what he says in verse 36. Therefore, he says, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. Acts 2, verse 36. And also, listen to Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So focus here on these verses. What are we seeing here? Lord Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Both emphasize the fact that he is God. And therefore, he is sovereign over us. Okay, focus now on our first purpose there on our sheet. When sharing the gospel with others, I purpose to emphasize that they must believe and confess Jesus is Lord, for he is sovereign over us. But let's take a little step further and see what else is involved when we talk about sharing the message of salvation. Well, we need to share that God's raised him from the dead. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, the fact that he was raised from the dead assumes that he died and was buried. You understand that, right? In our reading this morning from 1 Corinthians 15, Paul had said that the gospel included how Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, here's what Paul says. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with them. Paul emphasizes Jesus' resurrection because he's trying to convince his Jewish brethren that Jesus is Lord and that his resurrection was positive proof that God was completely satisfied with his sacrifice there on the cross. The resurrection, it bore witness that Jesus indeed, he was the Messiah. He was the sovereign, sinless, sacrificial lamb who offered up that perfect redemption price for all who believed they would be saved. Notice your next couple of purposes, please. When sharing the gospel with others, I purpose to emphasize Jesus satisfied God's demands for a perfect sacrifice as evidenced by God raising him from the dead. And then an added one, I purpose to affirm that if one does not believe and confess Jesus was raised from the dead, they've not experienced salvation. The resurrection is a vital point in the message of salvation. Christ not only died, he not only was buried, but he rose again the third day. And by the way, if you're not interested in doing that word study on Lord Jesus, then just take an hour and read the book of Acts today. And I want you to note that every time the message of salvation is given in the book of Acts, it included a very strong emphasis on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, share that Jesus rose again from the grave. But there's a third thing that you ought to share. Share that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Look at verse 10 again. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what we see here in verse 10 indicates that the message of salvation must also include that one obtains God's righteousness by believing and confessing with their mouth the Lord Jesus. Paul has again and again declared in this book of Romans that righteousness cannot be attained by trying to keep the law, because nobody can keep the whole law the whole time. But it's given, righteousness is given to those who believe that their sin was imputed on Jesus and that Jesus' righteousness was imputed on us. That was our study of Romans chapter 3 and 4, or 4 and 5. Paul says it's with the heart. And when he says heart, that includes the mind, the emotions, and the will of mankind. It's with the heart that one must believe the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. So the message of salvation always involves believing in, on Jesus, and confessing with one's mouth. Listen to Romans 1:16. He says, I'm not ashamed. Yeah, I got to confess. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. 2 Timothy 2:12 says this. Paul is exhorting Timothy, and he's doing with these words. He says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Purpose, look at it, please. When sharing the gospel with others, I purpose to emphasize their need to believe on Jesus and to confess their salvation experience unto others, to acknowledge Christ rose from the dead, and that one obtains God's righteousness by believing. And that brings us to verse 11. We ought to share that whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For the scripture saith, verse 11, whosoever believeth on him, yes, shall not be ashamed. Now, as Paul's done so often in the past, he verifies what he's just said with the Word of God. This verse, verse 11, it's taken from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, and it's been used before in Romans 9, verse 33. This passage from which Paul quotes this verse is where the prophet Isaiah warned the leaders of Jerusalem not to trust in false gods to deliver them from the Assyrians, but rather they were to trust in the Word, in the Lord Jesus. There he's described as the stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Isaiah says in that passage, he that believeth. Paul says here, whosoever believeth. Now, whosoever, it's a word that Paul has used again and again in this book of Romans. In the whole New Testament, it's translated all, 975 times, all. It's translated every, 168 times. And 37 times it's translated whosoever, whosoever. Paul has used it in a negative sense. He's used it in a positive sense. For example, in a negative sense, Romans 3:9 says this, all are under sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, so death passed upon all men for all sinned. But in a positive sense, it's used like this. In Romans 3, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all them that believe. There's no difference. In Romans 9, look at verse 33. Look at the last phrase in chapter 9, verse 33. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 4, chapter 10, it's the word we're looking at is translated everyone that believeth. Look at verse 11, translated whosoever. Verse 11 says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Look at verse 12, it's translated all. It says, very last phrase, unto all that call upon him. And then verse 13, it's translated whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just as all have sinned, all who believe are saved. Be they Jew or be they Gentile, they're saved. Now, and what will those who believe on him not do? Look at verse 11. What won't they do? They shall not be ashamed. Let me read to you the words of the Lord Jesus Christ out of Matthew chapter 10. He says this about confessing him before others. I'm reading Matthew 10, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Now, a lot of people get confused trying to understand how the Lord can use the word whosoever, all, every. How can he use that? And how is that compatible with the teaching that God's elected, chosen, ordained, predestined certain ones to be saved? Well, the one thing we know as we focus here on this chapter, we know that whosoever in this passage does not mean that everybody in the world will be saved. Because we've already been told it's only those who what? Believe and confess. So it's not everybody. So whosoever doesn't mean everybody. Whosoever is those who believe and confess. And who are those who are going to believe and confess? Well, it's those who've been elected, chosen, ordained, predestined. Look at your purpose, please. When witnessing, I purpose to communicate. It's only those who believe on Jesus who will be saved. And they will evidence their salvation by sharing it with others. That's one of the ways they're going to bear witness, that they've been born from above. They've been born by the Spirit of God. They will share it with others. Anything else we ought to be sharing? Well, let's take a look at this last point. Share, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at verses 12 and 13. He says, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, these verses are not saying that everybody will be saved, but rather whosoever, be they Jews, be they Gentiles, who believe and call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The believe is in verse 11. The call is here in verse 12. So it makes no difference whether a Jew believes or calls, or whether a Gentile believes and calls. They're going to be saved. Now, I can almost picture the Jews covering their ears and crying, stop, stop, when these words were being read to them. The Jews, they prided themselves that they were God's chosen children, not the Gentiles. Paul is inferring that whosoever, Jews, Gentiles, believe and call, they can be saved. They will be saved. And what determines whether or not they're going to believe, whether or not They're going to confess whether or not they're going to call. What's going to determine all that? Well, Acts 13, 48 says this, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Everyone, Jews, Gentile alike, if they've been ordained to eternal life, they're going to believe. They're going to call upon the Lord. Do you realize what pressures that takes off on you in witnessing? You can go forth with great freedom, sowing the word wherever, knowing that those God has chosen, they're going to call on the Lord. Now, but focus on this. You need to understand, salvation does not occur until one believes on Jesus and calls on Jesus to save them. I don't care if they've been elected, ordained, predestined, chosen from the beginning of the foundation of the world. They're not saved until the moment they believe and confess, the moment they call upon the Lord. That's when they're saved. 1 John 5, 13 says this, "Now these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Acts 16, 31, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Galatians 2, 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." John chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. "Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Look at your purpose. You know what? When sharing the Gospels with Jews or Gentiles, I purpose to encourage them to call on Jesus to save them. And who are those who will call upon him? Those God has called to him. Romans 8, verse 30. So the idea of calling upon is to pray in faith for salvation. Now, Paul, once again, he validates his statement with the scriptures. Look at Romans 10, verse 13. It's a quotation from Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Joel, he was a prophet to Judah more than 800 years before Paul penned these words. And from Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 32, he speaks of how God will show mercy and deliver, quote, "whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord." And I need to remind you that in biblical times, one's name represented one's character. When he's saying call on the name of the Lord, he's talking about trusting in his character. Jesus, what's his name mean? Jehovah is salvation. "Thou shalt call upon the name of Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew 1, verse 21. What about Christ? It means anointed. That is the Messiah. John 1, 41. "He," Andrew, "first findeth his own brother Simon, he saith to him, we found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. 1 John 3, 23. "And this is the commandment, we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ." So, the idea to call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, and by the way, Lord Jesus Christ, all three of these terms appear over and over in verses 5 through 13, is saying this: you believe he, that is Jesus, is the sovereign God. He's God in the flesh, that he's our Savior, that he's our Messiah, that he's the anointed prophet, priest, and king. Jesus, the humble man. Christ, the risen Lord. Have you called upon Jesus Christ to save you? If not, will you now call upon the Lord Jesus to save you? Look at your last two purposes for today. When sharing the gospel with others, I purpose to be confident that all who God has called will call on the Lord Jesus, and all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And final purpose for today, I purpose to acknowledge my inability to save myself by my works, but I now acknowledge God's ability to save me the moment I believe Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. I now confess him as my Lord and Savior. Well, what have we looked at today? Well, we've looked at verses 9 through 13 that give us the content of the message that you and I ought to share with others. The message that we call salvation. This message included the fact, hey, you need to confess and believe. You need to believe and confess. What do you need to confess and believe? Believe and confess? Jesus is Lord. Jesus has been raised from the grave. We read here that we should not be ashamed, but confess him. And we also focused on the fact that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are just some of the things that as you look through that, you say, well, if I get an opportunity this week to share the gospel, what should I say? Read to them verses 9 through 13. Just read to them those verses. I don't know what to do. Just read them that verses. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for just the various places in your word that you've laid out very clearly, very plainly for us, the message of salvation. The message that you would have us, one, to hear and to receive, and then, thirdly, to regurgitate. We thank you, Lord, for the boldness to know that our role is just to share the Word of God. And all those that you've wonderfully and gloriously chosen, elected, predestined, ordained, will. Confess and believe. Believe and confess. They will acknowledge Jesus as Lord. They will acknowledge that he has been wonderfully and gloriously raised from the grave. They will, by the gifts of faith and repentance, call upon the name of the Lord and thereby shall be saved. Help us, Lord, to have just the boldness to share this message with others. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.